Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
This episode is brought to you by ExpressVPN.
I love ExpressVPN.
I also love it.
Red Hot Comic Book Movie News.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Nick Mason.
We're keeping that energy up.
We
did a little dance before the show started.
We did this whole riff about a person that we know that we can't repeat here because it doesn't make any sense, and it's very insulting to that person in particular. So I'm riding high off that energy.
Oh, my God, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's good fun.
We can't even repeat it to him.
No, we can't. That's okay.
Yeah.
Mason.
What a day.
What a day.
What a day to be talking about whatever we're going to talk about this week.
I agree, because we're going to talk about some Indie 5 casting, some Snake Eyes stuff, some Fantastic Four non-casting, Black Widow news, a bunch of other Marvel news, including Shang-Chi, some Knives Out casting. First look at the He-Man reboot. I don't know if you see that. Saw that. I didn't know.
Saw some stills, yeah.
Saw some stills. Good, good, good. The Golden Globes run to fire, question mark.
Oh, goodness.
And
that famously suspicious award ceremony.
That's
wow.
Right. And, of course, Spiral.
Indiana Jones, that great adventure serial, the most incredible adventure serial. What's a worse one? The Phantom.
We
recorded an audio commentary for the movie The Phantom.
That's right. Now, if you love The Phantom, and of course, along with The Phantom, you loving The Phantom, you might love Defenders of the Earth. I've muted it. It didn't work.
Wow.
That's all right. That's not even working. Don't even worry, everybody.
Defenders of the Earth! Out of the sky, his rockets ignite!
It was just me enjoying that song and the headphones.
I imagined it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good fun.
I'm capable of imagining things.
For those people who haven't listened before, don't worry about it. Whatever that was. Don't even worry about it. So we did a commentary for The Phantom.
Yeah.
Starring Billy Zane from 1995. If you go to bigsandwich.com and sign up, it was there last week, but forgot to mention it. And this week we're doing another clickbait where we do a bunch of Mason reads clickbait to me and I
tear
my hair
out. Angry. Yeah.
So it's $9 a month. There's a huge back catalogue of stuff if you don't want to sign up. Bonus podcasts, early videos, heaps of stuff.
We have a grand time over there.
Mm, we really do. Speaking of grand times.
There's new catchphrases over there.
Oh, there's so
all
many.
All kinds of, yeah.
It's a wild ride. Do you love the new Venom trailer? Venom, get ready for a piping hot slice of carnage. Here it comes.
Is that the subtitle now?
That's what it is.
Great. It's the original Odd Couple, isn't it?
Just a couple of...
Is that what we were hoping for? Because that's what we're getting and I'm kind of okay with it.
Yeah. Well, that's what worked for me about the first movie.
Mm.
And now we've got a couple of gooey guys just coming at each other, which was also the last movie.
The original gooey couple.
Yes, that's right.
One's neat and one's messy, but they're both equally gooey.
Yeah, that's true.
They both wallow in the same goo.
Yeah.
One of them is the goo.
One of them's the goo.
Yeah.
I meant in terms of like Carnage and Venom, because they're both gooey guys. And there was...
Oh, I see, right.
Toxin and Venom maybe in the last one?
Or... At the very least, this one is an improvement on the previous one, whether you like the last one or not.
I don't.
This one is definitively an improvement because one of the guys is black and one of the guys is red. And
exactly.
You can tell them apart in a darkened action sequence.
Yeah,
so that's
in a big splodgy splodge fest.
Couple of gooey guys.
Couple of gooey guys making a run at it, you know what I mean? It seems like they've leant into the wacky stuff, like the lobster tank eating stuff and the weird split personality. Andy Serkis is directing this one, who, and I've said this before, but I like his version of The Jungle Book. People don't or maybe haven't seen it, but I quite like it.
And you were like, if only it were gooier.
Yeah, that's what I said to myself as I was watching that movie.
Baloo, more like Bagoo.
Galoo.
Galoo.
Perfect. So, yeah, so I did like that breakfast scene. I think it's wacky and fun and gross and whatever, you know what I mean? It would be a nightmare living with. But in the comics, it's not like a separate thing that talks to him, is it? Is it like one sort of...
Oh, good question. They've been
separated.
It's been a very long time since I've read a Venom comic book. I would have read Venom like in its heyday in the 90s.
Yeah.
So at that point, he would speak like... He would say we a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know if he had any like conversation. I don't know if Eddie Brock, the man, ever had conversations with Venom, the character.
Yeah.
He probably has now.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, they would have, at this point, they would have attempted every conceivable.
Yes.
You know, there's almost certainly been like comics where they exist in a mind plane and they have conversations with one another and all that sort of stuff. So.
Yeah, that's really fun, I think. Maybe. Yeah. So, no, in the movies, when they're formed together and they're both of the Venom, they do that wee thing, don't they? Mm. Probably. I've only seen that movie once. And I guess I'll watch it again. But they've also changed Sideshow Bob's hair. What do you think of that?
Oh, that's what I was going to bring up. They've changed Carnage's hair from whatever curly monstrosity it was last time.
I liked it.
To a normal haircut, a normalish haircut.
I liked it. I liked both, I think. I don't know. I can't remember what I said the last time. It looked ridiculous.
Do you think there's going to be context for it in this movie? Do you think he's going to get a haircut?
Well, I think it's just passage of time. And I was going to do a trailer breakdown.
It's gotten shorter over the passage of time, James.
That's what can happen. You can get a haircut. You get a hair machine.
Yeah, that's
and then
true.
You get a cut.
Yeah.
But, so apparently I did a bunch of notes because I was going to do a trailer breakdown. And then I went, you know what? I just don't want to look at this for any length of time.
The trailer or just the haircut?
The trailer. So even though I'm totally okay with it, yep, sequel, whatever, you know, make it dumb and fun and this. There might be some Avengers and Spider-Man nods, but apparently it's not the same universe, but I think it's that same kind of vague.
Oh, because it was pointed out that one of the characters is reading, it's Tommy from the movie Snatch, that actor's name.
Whatever the guy's name is. He's probably friends with Andy Serkis, or he was in the first movie, I don't
certainly,
know.
Yeah, maybe, He's also Al Capone in Peaky Blinders, et cetera.
And Tom Hardy was Al Capone in that other one.
Oh, yeah, a couple of Al Capones in this movie.
Couple of Capones.
Was he Al Capone in Peaky Blinders?
I don't know.
Been Al Capone in something.
I'm glad he's been Al Capone. But glad he's had the opportunity to read a newspaper in this, which is a little bit of an Easter egg.
That's where we're going with that. It's the Daily Bugle newspaper.
Yeah.
And as has been established in the Spider-Man Far From Home, the Daily Bugle is like a shock jock vlog kind of live streaming.
It could be both.
Could
things.
Be both, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
And I think there's some other stuff in there that I can't really remember from the trailer. I think there might be an Avengers headline or a partial one.
Yeah. It could also be like revenge or avenged.
Yes. I think it will be one of those things where if this does well.
Or vengedables.
Vengedables. Yeah.
Scientists recommend you eat all your vegetables.
I agree. If this does well financially or commercially or more importantly.
It's headline
both.
News, James.
Yes.
Eat your vegetables.
Yes. Financially, commercially? No, that's the same thing. Financially or critically and then people like it. Then they'll fold it into whatever version of Sinister Six they've definitely got lined
that's
up.
Right. Uh-huh.
Or they'll dump it, we'll say.
Yes.
Because it seems like Marvel are keeping this Sony universe at kind of arm's length.
Yes.
for a lot of the time. But yeah, that comes out. I want to say July, but I also don't want to commit to a date. Kind of like my bloody wedding, am I right, Mason? Kind of like bloody getting married, am I right?
You know, you wanted to get married, I'm pretty sure.
I did, and then I did get married. I am married, so it already happened.
Yep.
I couldn't get out of it bloody. She got me in a bloody, like wearing a bloody dog collar, do you know what I mean, mate?
Yeah.
I'm one of those guys. I'm that guy now. Bloody ball and chain. Look at
this. You've switched over.
Look at this person I've committed my life to who I openly hate. What do you think of that,
everybody? Is that why you're wearing that T-shirt that says, I hate my wife?
Yes.
All right, now that'll do it. Great stuff. The endless source of comedy, which I appreciate.
Agree.
Yeah.
I love meeting guys who hate their wife or vice versa. Happens all the time. It's crazy. Anyway, go on.
All right. Stephen Graham is an English actor. He's best known. He's best known for playing Andrew Combo Gascoigne in the film This Is England and his television sequels. This Is England 86, This Is England 88, and This Is England 90. Disagree. I know him as Tommy from the movie Snatch.
There you go. This Is England. Is that a series of movies?
Yes.
And shows?
Movies and shows, yes.
Oh, cool. I've never heard of this.
Other film roles include Tommy in Snatch, Shang in Gangs of New York. Yeah. Babyface Nelson in Public Enemies, a lot of gangsters.
Yeah.
He was Tony Pro in The Irishman.
Oh, okay.
The youngest man in that movie, presumably.
How old was anybody in that movie?
He was Al Capone in Boardwalk Empire.
Okay, that's what I'm thinking. Gotcha.
Because I was like, why would Al Capone be in Peaky Blinders?
Yeah. He wouldn't.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
I'm
going to watch some of these This Is England movies,
I think. Okay, nice.
Yeah, there we go.
What are we talking about? I'm sure.
Anyway, Venom. Let's have some carnage.
Yes, please.
If we're ready for it. But again, it's like, it's no Spider-Man. Everyone's a gooey guy.
Sure.
I don't know.
Venom, everyone's a gooey guy? I would watch.
Because it's like that thing of like, Iron Man fights another Iron Man.
It sure is, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not very compelling. But
so you would prefer that Venom fought like the least gooey guy there is?
Yeah.
A skeleton.
Or a man made of sand. But I can't think of anybody in the Spider-Man universe who would fit that particular description.
Yeah, but also that would be the worst combination.
Why?
A gooey guy and a man made of sand?
Yes.
Ugh.
That's why I like it.
Ugh. And just rolling down the streets of New York, just tumbling down a flight of stairs and stopping somewhere in the middle because they've stuck to it.
I'm pretty sure it's set in a different city.
San Francisco?
Maybe, or it is.
There's a lot of hills, so it's probably San Francisco.
Yeah, there we go. Great stuff. Do you want some casting news for Indiana Jones via Deadline?
Yes.
So Shaunette Renee Wilson, who was one of the...
Oh, he's playing Indiana Jones.
That's right.
Whoa. No,
she was one of the Dora Milaje.
Ah.
She's joined the cast, along with Boyd Holbrook, who people might know recently. He had the robot
Logan.
Arm in
yeah,
Logan.
Like,
he
yeah,
was
yeah.
also in the worst Predator movie that anybody's ever committed to film.
Yep.
But not that he was bad,
I mean,
in it.
Yet.
Yet. That's right.
There's always a chance for another one. So.
That's right. The century is young.
That's right.
As it were. So, yeah, that makes sense because he's obviously got a working relationship with James Mangold, who's directing this new one, which, again, I think is a good idea, et cetera, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to this hopefully being something. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's going to wear that hat. We're going to go, we remember this hat. We're all remembering this hat. You know that song we practiced for the cinema for opening night?
Yes, I do remember that, yes.
It's going to be good, isn't it? Let's do it. What are we going to commit to it? No, not the hat. Not the song.
Okay.
We're going to commit now whether we think it's good. We haven't seen anything. This is one of those things that people will message back and they'll say,
Remember that time you said it was going to be good. Yeah.
So James Mangold has done 3:10 to Yuma. He's done Logan. He's done everybody's dad's favorite movie, Christian Bale's Racing Cars Against the French or whatever.
Mm, yeah. The Italians, but yes.
Yes. there's some French in there probably.
Sure.
Probably.
Driving their Renaults.
Driving their weird French bicycles. What is it? Good or not? Let's go.
I think it's going to be good.
How good?
I think it is going to be...
Give me something that's on par with.
Better than Temple of Doom.
Wow.
Yep.
I'm going to say it'll be the fourth best one.
Okay, sure. Right.
No.
But why?
No,
why do you
okay,
think that?
No, you know what? I'm going to move it. I'm going to say, I'm agree with you. I'm going to say better than Temple of Doom. You can't beat the first one or the third one.
Yeah.
Probably.
Mm.
Probably?
Probably.
Let's put it somewhere
but
there.
But I mean, you know, he pulled out a Wolverine movie that was basically the third Wolverine.
Yeah.
And it was the best
Yep,
Wolverine.
Exactly.
And he did, and he's done 3:10 to Yuma, which is a, you know, Western period action drama, and that was good.
Christian Bale had a wooden leg.
In a very dead genre, and that was good. So probably pretty good.
All right. All right, then.
Yeah.
Here we go.
And if it isn't good, I'll eat a big bag of sand.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I'll eat a big bag of goo.
Yes.
Can I specify what type of goo?
Nope.
Just.
Dealer's choice.
Nondescript.
Yep.
Great.
Yeah. Well, I was meaning more in the sense of a big, you know, a big bag of sand you would swap for an idol, but.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's just a coincidence we were talking about sand.
I thought we were doing the other thing.
Nope.
Okay, we were doing a different thing.
Yeah.
Snake Eyes, by now I think there will be a trailer out. We haven't seen it at time of recording.
I'm so sorry,
Mason, and I'm so sorry, listeners, that we haven't seen the trailer for Snake Eyes. Mm. There was some
We could watch the Nicolas Cage Snake Eyes movie.
Yeah, that's true.
The whole thing right now.
Well,
come back.
It's about gambling, and doesn't he admit to being a bad cop at the end? Not to spoil the movie Snake Eyes. or something.
Do you think that's the finale to the movie? It's just a movie about gambling, and at the end he's just sitting at the craps table or whatever, and he's like, I'm a bad cop, by the way. And all the people around him are like, this is new information, but all right. Good on you.
No, I think I'm going to spoil the movie Snake Eyes. So he solves a crime, but he's a crooked cop. And at the end, they're like, he's a hero. And then all the stuff comes out about him, all the shady stuff. And it's like, that's the price you pay when you do a Snake Eyes. That's what his police chief says to him.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, apparently I was reading into the third G.I. Joe movie because it's still in the works. It's called G.I. Joe Ever Vigilant.
I honestly thought you were going to say G.I. Joe Effervescent.
Well, I wish.
We need a team that is deadly. We need a team that is dedicated. Mm. But they've got to be effervescent. You know what I mean? They've got a little spicy something about them.
It's not something I can put my finger on, but you know, we're going to know it when we see it. Mm. Yeah.
That Duke, he's really bubbly, and I like it.
Who do you...
Scarlett's doing jazz hands. Get her in.
Okay, to answer this for me, when did the last two G.I. Joe movies come out? Give me the years, if you could.
2009?
That's correct. That's the first one.
Huh.
When was G.I. Joe Retaliation out?
2011?
2013.
Oh.
I thought you were going to go later. Yeah, because I didn't realize it had been that long. It's been 8 years since that last one that wasn't good. Did you watch it?
Yeah, I must have watched it, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, we'll probably do
it. Because I watched it for Bruce Willis's effervescent performance.
Oh, my God.
Well, his original G.I. Joe.
I saw the poster of that. He's like right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Like more so than The Rock or Channing Tatum. He's right in the middle, and I feel like that's not something they do now. They wouldn't put him in the middle of a poster with those people in it.
No.
No. Because, you know.
All the Bruce Willis stuff.
All the things that he is.
That we've mentioned it any number of times in this podcast. Yeah.
That's right. Speaking of
He does some decent stuff in that one, if I recall.
Yeah.
So maybe he's on the back of a car or something.
I bet we watch it. I bet we watch it again and we go, oh, this is actually quite phoned in. But we'll see.
Well, I mean, there is also definitively like a bunch of scenes where they're just in a house. Like maybe sitting on a couch and he's
house.
Yeah, I used to be G.I. Joe.
But now I'm
Bruce Willis, the actor.
But I'll
Bruce
do G.I. Joe again for you guys.
That's right.
In front of this green screen.
Yeah.
Mm. Howard Stern. Speaking of old, irrelevant people.
Go on.
No, he's probably fine. I don't know. You're one of those guys who were like, I love Howard back in the day. He'd get people on and anyone would say anything and it was like a party time.
Bubba Booey.
That's right.
That's one of the guys that was always on there who would say Bubba Booey.
Look, I'm cutting to this guy. He's always here. What's his name? Oh, there's a girl here. She's here to cramp our style. Do you know what I mean? Chicks, am I right, boys?
Howard Stern, stop being so outrageous. We have them here as well. We have these people in Australia as well.
He's very groundbreaking and whatever.
Sure.
And the movie Private Parts probably,
I
haven't seen. Anyway, Emily Blunt was on Howard Stern, and she was
still going.
Still go, yeah.
I was not expecting that. That's a curveball.
Believe
right.
it. Fantastic Four. She was asked about Fantastic Four casting, and she said, because for those people who don't know, people like John Krasinski, Mr. Fantastic, Emily Blunt. Ms. Fantastic.
That's right.
Thank you very much. She said that is fan casting. No one has ever received a phone call. That's just people saying, wouldn't that be great? It's not that it's beneath me. I love Iron Man. And when I got offered Black Widow, I was obsessed with Iron Man. I wanted to work with Robert Downey Jr. It would have been amazing. But I don't know if superhero movies for me. She was also contracted, we found out, to Gulliver's Travels. The movie Gulliver's
Travels. Did that
Travels.
Come out?
Yes, it was Jack Black.
Oh, yeah, okay,
Gulliver's Travels. You know, you're thinking of the 90s Ted Danson telly series.
I was
Gulliver's
thinking of
Travelers.
Yeah.
Travelers in Australia is beers you take on the road with you, isn't it?
That's right.
You're like, I'm walking to the pub. You want a traveler?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, I want a traveler.
It'd be called Gazza's Travelers.
That's right.
No, Gazza's Travelers?
Gazza's, yeah, it'd be Gazza's.
Then it'd become Gazza's, yeah.
Yeah.
Then Dickhead. You'd be called Dickhead's Travelers.
Better take two.
Yeah, better take two. Yeah,
two for the road.
Yeah.
They're not up my alley. I don't like them. This is comic book movies. I really don't. It's been...
So she liked the Iron Man ones, but she doesn't like...
She liked the first one.
Okay, right.
It's been exhausted. We're inundated. It's not all the movies. It's the endless TV shows as well.
Geez, she's gone on a real
tear.
Yeah,
it's not to say that I'd never want to play one. It's just it'd have to be something so cool and like a really cool character. And then I'd be... interested.
Sounds to me like she's been given she's definitely Invisible Woman, and Kevin Feige's written this script where she absolutely decries superhero movies and how they're all terrible.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
I'll eat a bag of sand if it's not the case.
Wow, I'd all eat a bag of goo. Is that what we're doing?
Yep.
Was this a different metaphor that you've come up with.
This is different. So, yeah, for me it is a bag of sand, and for you it is a bag of goo, yes.
Okay, good, good, yeah. good. All right, cool. So
that's interesting that she would.
It sounds to me like she's not involved. The one thing, also, for me personally, mm-hmm. it's kind of dull to pick those two. Nothing against them.
Right.
I just think it's not very interesting.
But wouldn't you think at the very least the idea of that they're a married couple in real life and in the movie, like, wouldn't that provide a fun little dynamic? Do you think it would? Don't you think that would come off on screen? Maybe that it's like,
you know, it's one of those scenarios where you think you've turned me around, but I'm digging my heels in, Mason.
Just because?
Yeah. No, look, that's a very good point. To be fair, but I just, maybe it's just that we've been hearing about it for at least half a decade.
Yes.
At least.
Oh yeah.
So I'm just like, like, really at this point. But if they did get cast, I wouldn't be upset.
Sure,
do you know what I mean? But I'm kind of like some left of center stuff. Do you know what I mean? You know when they cast someone and you're like, oh, yeah, that's very interesting. Well done.
Okay. Howard Stern.
Yeah.
And the guy that goes Baba Booey as Mr. Fantastic in The Invisible Woman.
That's very interesting.
Very interesting, right?
Hey, we got a Dr. Doom. He's just outside the window and we think he's got a big laser gun.
Baba Booey.
We think he's got a big laser cut, so we're not 100%.
Well, that Baba Booey indicated that he needed more information.
Sure, okay. Yeah. Okay, good stuff. I guess, speaking of Emily Blunt, I just needed to bring this up. I'll talk about this later because there's been some theatrical stuff that I want to talk about. What's the one, the Rock, and they're in the boat together?
Tiny Tugboat.
Yeah, that one.
Jungle Cruise.
Jungle Cruise, thank you. I was writing Tiny Tugboat. Jungle Boat, nope. here we go. Okay, so Black Widow news. Apparently this movie has been finished for a year.
Okay.
It's out, I want to say, next month.
June.
Yeah, June, yeah. Late May, maybe here. So it's been, in the can for a year, ready to go.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
David Harbour actually posted a tweet that said, Ursa, Yelena, Nat, CD, Sputnik and I and the rest of the Winter Guard look forward to sharing a popcorn bag and a big old screen in the dark theatres with you on July 9th. There you go, July 9th. So Winter Guard are making an appearance, it turns out, in some form, who are the Russian Avengers.
Ah.
So there you go.
Aren't they the Winter Guard? Isn't that what he's saying?
I don't know if they are. It says, and the rest of the Winter Guard. So we're seeing other...
Who knows who we'll get. Saying, okay. Yeah. Maybe we'll see a Crimson Dynamo, like the Russian Iron Man. Mm. Titanium Man, also the Russian Iron Man.
Yeah, wow. Just a bunch of Russian Iron Man.
Borscht Boy.
Russian Iron Man.
That's right. He was turned into borscht.
Oh.
And then they put him in a suit.
Is he okay?
He's sloshing about, but he's all right.
That's all right. Just don't open that suit.
Don't open the suit. It's going to smell bad. He's going to pour out of the bottom of it.
Go down a drain.
Go down a drain, yeah.
You don't need it. You don't need it. So there you go.
Yep.
Yeah, that's still coming out, I think, as are other things. Speaking of.
Go on.
They've changed some stuff for Shang-Chi and Free Guys over at Disney and Jungle Cruise. I think Jungle Cruise is now coming direct to streaming same day.
Okay.
Which is like the biggest movie ever, et cetera, and so forth. You know, it's they built the biggest set ever or whatever.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and that's been on the shelf for maybe 2 years now because I think they initially pushed it back. And Shang-Chi and Free Guys are going to have a 45-day theatrical window.
And then it will probably go to streaming, is that what they're saying?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
So there you go. So that's...
All right. Well, I mean, if you can safely go to a cinema where you are...
Yeah.
Do that, otherwise.
45 days, not so
45
long.
45 days.
God, movies would... It was so long. Yeah. Now, a movie was at the cinema for 100 years and then you'd wait another 100 years for it to come to VHS and then it would be out.
Yeah.
And you went to rent it.
That's right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So this is just strange times, you know what I mean?
Oh, my God. Shang-Chi would have come on like a red VHS, some gold lettering on it. Oh, yeah. Tremendous.
Did you see how Shang-Chi and...
So Iron Man probably would have as well.
Yeah, definitely. Would it have like a big arc reactor in the middle? Of the clamshell that you brought it in, like the Ninja Turtles.
Oh, you know what? VHS. You'd flip it over.
Yeah.
And the turny bits would be like arc reactors.
Sick.
Yeah.
That's sick.
Yeah,
I like that.
And it'd be filled with borscht.
Oh, well, I don't like that as much. That wouldn't work, would it?
No.
So, yes, I think Shang-Chi and the Eternals, because Chloe Zhao has spoken openly against China. She was born there, but she's like, hey, a lot of stuff that's going on in here sucks.
Yep.
And apparently people in China aren't really happy with Shang-Chi. There's like a lot of like, this is pandering. And I read something
I haven't seen it yet.
Well, that, I know, but they're like, and the Mandarin stuff is like offensive and whatever, because it was a Fu Manchu.
Now you're
character.
Upset by the pandering China.
So.
You know what? They've reached peak pandering. That's the problem. They've been like... Could you please stop putting our pop stars in your movies for brief scenes where they show up and they give the actual heroes some advice or like they go down this alleyway?
Yeah.
Great.
It's really good.
We're sick of it, quite frankly.
Yes, so are we.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so there's only like a handful of movies, US movies that can be released in China, and those two aren't on the list at the moment.
Okay.
Which is like, it's the biggest movie market in the world, et cetera. And like, it won't kill either of those movies if they don't end up being released there. But
so long as the true fans watch them.
I heard also
1,000 times each.
Yes, that's right. I saw also that there were complaints that they weren't, the leads in Shang-Chi weren't traditionally good looking. And I'm like, I don't know what's good looking anymore, man. I look at those two and I'm like, those two are much better looking than me. How ugly am I?
But you only mean combined.
Oh,
individually,
okay.
They're not as good looking as you, but when you put them together.
Like a Voltron of
handsomeness. That's right.
Okay, cool. So there you go. We'll see what happens there. But in all honesty, it doesn't affect me at all. And I don't give a shit.
James,
at
you could
all.
Have been rating every. We've done like 385 episodes or something.
Yeah.
At this point. It's only at this point that you include the system of this doesn't affect me personally at all. You could have been doing that from episode one.
I thought it was implied that all of this doesn't affect me personally at all.
Mm.
Except when there's a trailer released and it ruins my day.
Oh, yeah.
Knives Out 2, got some casting. Ready
Go
for this?
On, yes. Dave Bautista.
Yeah. Edward Norton.
Oh, Mr. Norton.
And Catherine Hahn.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, it's a good list. It's a good list. As of so far, early days, obviously. Do you see Dave Bautista was like, I'm only going to do Drax probably one more time, then I'm retiring the Drax. And he's like, they should have leaned into the more of the Destroyer of Drax. He also said that. And he also said that he hates doing it because of all the makeup and stuff.
Right. Well, that'll, which, I mean,
yeah.
That's an actor's arc.
Mm.
You know, it happened with Mystique.
Yep.
Both Rebecca Romijn and Jennifer Lawrence,
yeah.
Where they're like, I'm young and I want to, you know, increase my star power and I want to do this role because I think it's good. And so they sit in the chair for 10 hours for all the body paint and what have you. And then the next one they're like, can I just wear a sock?
Yeah.
Just a body stocking with it on. And then the next time they're like, I'm going to be in a leather costume up to the neck.
Yep.
And then maybe you can paint my face blue.
Yeah, maybe.
And then that's what happens because they're like, I could be making more money in a more substantial role somewhere else and I don't have to do, I can dress like a normal human.
Yeah, exactly. And also even though she's like, I'm mutant and proud and I love being a mutant, by the third movie she's just like, I'm just Jennifer Lawrence-ing this.
Yes.
I'm not doing anything beyond that. Yeah. Also, I want to be murdered by a house.
That's true, yeah.
That's what happens. Remember, she gets stabbed by that house?
I remember.
So that's good stuff. So, yeah, look, I completely understand that. Why would anybody want to do that for like 2 months straight or whatever it is? Yeah. But I feel like, do you reckon you'd be able to CGI that, put him in a mocap and like.
At this point, Vision. Yeah.
I guess it'd be cost. That's what it'd come down to, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I imagine what they could do is they could put him in a like a long sleeve shirt that has the patterns on it, and then they could just tweak it in.
Yeah,
I watched the behind the scenes for Falcon and the Winter Soldier where they talk about the arm where it's rubber and they can kind of take
out
the rub, like when he bends at the elbow, it's obviously got a rubber kink.
Yeah,
and they can take it out.
Yeah,
they can smooth it out so it looks like an actual
make the whole thing
arm.
Rubber. Just a big rubbery arm.
That's right. Yeah,
that's what we want. Yeah, that's good stuff. Did you see? And I know you did because we already talked about it. There's a He-Man reboot.
Yes.
Kevin Smith is working on it as the showrunner and writer. And
snooch
to the nooch.
It looks snooch to the nooch, doesn't
it? It does. It genuinely looks really good.
Genuinely looks what?
Snooch to the nooch.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's all he asks.
It's got Mark Hamill in it, Lena Headey's in it.
Yeah.
It's a good cast. Snooch to the nooch.
Very snooch to the nooch, yeah.
Honestly, like, I wasn't really sure what this was going to be. Because I thought, is this, like, going to be in the style of, like, She-Ra? It's going to be, like, because it's supposed to be maybe a sequel to the original cartoon. So I'm like, are we going back to that and making it, like, a goofy kind of Birdman kind of.
But it looks very
follow-up.
Sincere, I think.
Yeah. It kind of looks like the 2002, 2003 version. Mm. But, like, honestly, it looked. I don't know, it's only still images, but it looked really impressive.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Mm. Won't we? Did you hear?
Sure will. Because somebody thought. Mm. You know, detractors would say it might have been, you know, Jason Lee puts his hand down his pants and then he does a real dirty handshake with a man. But it's actually snooch to the nooch.
Exactly.
Which I think is good.
I agree.
To the best of my knowledge. Was it Jason Lee?
Jason.
It was Mallrats.
It was Jason Lee, yeah.
Okay.
It was, I know a couple of guys in my school did that to the principal.
Whoa.
Yeah.
When you say a couple of guys.
No, it was not me. I would not put my hand in my own butt crack. I just wouldn't do it.
Okay,
I'm not about that life.
All right.
Yeah. Apparently, Kevin Smith lives in constant fear.
Okay, but what if your family was in danger?
Yeah.
And you had to put your hand in your own butt crack and give somebody a dirty handshake.
Yeah, then of course I would.
Yeah, that's what I thought, yeah.
What do you mean?
I'm saying you're not committed to it. That's all I'm saying.
A man will.
There you go, your principles, you know.
Look, anybody would do that.
Your family were in danger.
If the movie Taken.
James, if your family were in danger, I would not do that.
But listen to me. Anybody would do it. If Liam Neeson was like, you know, he was rescuing his daughter and he got to the boss and the boss was like, put your hand in your butt crack and give me a handshake and I'll let her go. He'd do it. He'd do it, Mason, yeah, if it was his only option.
Yeah, right.
He'd put his really long arm behind his back.
Yeah, yeah.
He's probably got a really long butt crack. You know what I mean?
No, he's really old, so it'd be a very short one.
Would it?
Yeah.
Doesn't it stretch out?
No, I don't think so.
Low hanging butt?
I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, this is all snooch to the nooch.
Yeah. Lower Noah sent.
I have a certain set of skills. They're snooch to the nooch.
Noah said.
James, what you discovered, both doing this podcast and this, what I was just doing then, is eventually snooch to the nooch loses all meaning. I'm like, am I using the term snooch to the nooch correctly?
I don't really know. What is it? It's a good thing, right?
Or bad.
Wow.
Which one's snoochy boochies? Which is that good?
It's a different thing. Yeah. They're both good or bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What I was saying before, like, yeah, Kevin Smith is like, people greet him like that, and I think he lives in constant fear of, because he invented this thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I assume he invented it. Noah Centineo, you know him?
What?
Noah Centineo.
Who's that?
He's in, like, All the Boys I've Loved Before, whatever, All the Girls I've Loved Before. He's this fucking guy. This guy, you know
yeah,
him.
Yeah, no, show me the tiny thumbnail.
Yeah.
I don't reckon.
You do recognize
him.
I'm
very sorry, I don't know who
recognize
that is.
Recognize him, Mason.
I don't know who that is.
I'm going to go to images and you're going, anyway, he was He-Man.
The voice of He-Man.
No, he was going to be He-Man in the live action.
Live action He-Man,
okay. He just dropped out. You don't recognize this guy?
Let's have a look.
He's on every movie in Netflix. You open in the Netflix original, he's in it.
He looks like a Jesse. Like, you know, one of those like early 2000s Jessies. He looks
one
like
of the, one of them
guys.
Jessies.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. He's not one of those.
Okay, that's a shame.
He's a newer man.
Okay,
anyway, he's not at being He-Man anymore.
All right.
Golden Globes are under fire.
That's right. Tom Cruise gave back his Golden Globes
that's
or something.
That's right.
Those meaningless trinkets that didn't give back any of his money, did he?
No, I assume so. I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you know of the Golden Globes? You want to break it down?
All I know is about the Golden Globes is they seem to be, they've always seemed to me to be an excuse for the, like, Hollywood Foreign Press Association to meet celebrities. Isn't
yes.
that the whole deal? They just, it seems like it's always been a case of they all just get together and go, what celebrities would we like to meet?
Yeah.
Oh, we want to meet Johnny Depp? All right, well, let's nominate him for Best Musical or Comedy. And
yeah.
then he comes over and they go, oh, good to meet you, Johnny
good
Depp.
You. Well, thank you for coming. We stink palmed you, Johnny Depp. Good to meet you.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, he got them.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, and it's, so they've been criticized. Also, the awards are meaningless and like most awards and, and they just go to weird movies and they got weird categories. And
apparently, I think I read also that, like, you don't get paid if you're a part of this association, but they do get a lot of money and then that money does get distributed, but they're not getting paid. It's just...
Shared among friends.
Just gets shared among friends for various expenses.
Money for what, though?
Don't
like,
know.
Who's giving them the money?
The Hollywood Foreign Press Association.
But where do they get the money?
Goldie Globe. That's the mascot. And by mascot, I mean deity.
Oh, okay.
He's at the top of a set of golden stairs.
And he throws
money down, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And what's he, why does he do any of that? Does he just love
just as a boon to his worshippers. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this sounds great. Anyway, they've been criticized over a lack of diversity and unethical practices for years. Scarlett Johansson recently said there are sexist questions and remarks by certain HFPA members. That brought on sexual harassment. Tom Cruise, as you mentioned, handed back his three awards in protest. Jerry Maguire, Born on the 4th of July, and Magnolia.
Oh.
You send them back? You package them up, or do you just, like, denounce them?
No, you do like a...
You take the Top Gun jet.
What you do is you get like, a bin out in your backyard, and you light a fire in the bin, and then you set your phone up in portrait mode, and you take a video of you chucking your Golden Globes in the burning bin.
And you go, yeah.
Got them, yeah, that's
got
right.
Them. And then
chuck in your Nikes, throw those
exactly.
in there.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Whatever the latest restaurant is that you're upset at.
That's right.
Vow that you'll never go back, et cetera.
Yeah.
NBC also, this is the final nail in the coffin for now.
Whoa.
They said we're not going to screen this anymore.
Okay.
And they said, assuming the organization executes its plan, because its plans to like to make improvements, we are hopeful we'll be in position to air the show in January of 2023. So there you go.
Whoa. Maybe can we survive without 2 years of the Golden Globes?
I don't know. I want another classic Ricky Gervais. Oh, celebrities, stop cancel culture. Oh, you know that.
Yeah, a bit of that.
That
yeah,
bit
yeah.
that he does. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
sure.
So yeah, again,
have you seen that video of Gary Shandling just destroying Ricky Gervais?
I have. Yes.
Ricky Gervais shows up at Gary Shandling. The late great Gary Shandling says he just shows up, starts like going through his cupboards.
Yeah,
and Gary Shandling's just like, "You're bad, and I hate you." In various ways, yeah. For about 10 minutes.
And look, to be fair, I have so much of Ricky Gervais stuff I genuinely do like.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. All right. There'll be
And then the other stuff, you're offended, obviously.
Yeah, because it's too edgy. Yeah, it's like, ooh, I could be an attack helicopter. You know that joke?
Yeah, yeah, I know
that
joke.
Everybody does.
I love that joke. Yeah, it's good.
A really good joke. Let's do an ad here. We'll put it in here.
Okay,
but if this is the ad-free feed, guess what? On bigsandwich.co, there won't be an ad here.
Right.
And there will be 4 minutes of silence. That's what you pay for.
That's right. Think on your sins. That's what it's for. All right? We're pushing a different agenda on Big Sandwich. Where'd you get the $9 to pay for Big Sandwich every month? It's blood money, I bet.
That's right, money. Exactly.
Change your ways.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
No, you guys probably
right. Yeah, you're right. We appreciate it genuinely.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Do you know what I like about ExpressVPN? Surprise, we're in an ad.
Oh, the fact that it's a virtual private network?
Yeah, that's definitely part of
it. The very definition of it.
What about this then? What about this? Mm-hmm. What about this? Get ready.
Right. Yeah.
You can unlock movies and shows that are only available in other countries.
What?
Yeah, that's right.
It's tremendous.
There's a bunch of stuff that you can watch using ExpressVPN. Or go to for me when I'm like, what am I going to watch? What am I going to bloody watch?
Mm-hmm.
But I can't think of a thing to watch. And they've taken The Office off Netflix along with
I was
Parks
just about to get to The Office.
Well, here's the thing.
Yes.
On Australian Netflix, mm-hmm. if you switch it over to that, you can watch as much as The Office as you want, because it's all still there. They haven't moved it over.
Perfecto.
Exactly. ExpressVPN lets you change your online location so you can control where you want sites to think you're located.
Oh.
I know. Yes. You open the app, you select a location, you tap one button to connect and refresh the page to access thousands of new shows and movies. You can choose from almost 100 different countries. You can watch the Studio Ghibli films, you know, the anime on UK Netflix. What do you think of that?
I know what anime is.
I know. What about
this? I love
it. What about watching anime on Japanese Netflix? Because there's a bunch of that there.
I could do that also.
What about this?
I still know what anime is, so.
You could watch the good episodes and seasons of Doctor Who on UK Netflix.
Oh, incredible.
And avoid the others if you wanted to. Because, look, it's a mixed bag. But there's some classic stuff in there, Mason.
Agreed. Strongly agreed.
Yeah. There's a bunch of other examples. There's Brooklyn Nine-Nine on Canada Netflix. There's Rick and Morty on France Netflix. And Australia. There's How I Met Your Mother on German Netflix. The thing is, this works with any streaming service. Not just Netflix. We're talking Hulu, BBC iPlayer, and YouTube.
Love YouTube.
I agree. You can stream in HD, no problem, no buffering or lag. It's compatible with all your devices, phones, laptops, media consoles, smart TVs and more. And not only does it let you change your location, it also encrypts your data and lets you surf the web, surfs up, dude, safely and anonymously. Surfs up, but anonymously.
Those websites will not know what is up.
They won't
They'll
know.
Be like, what the heck, excuse me?
Exactly. Go to expressvpn.com/weeklyplanet to get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. That's expressvpn.com/weeklyplanet.
Nice.
Should we get on with the show?
Yes.
I'm just thinking about ExpressVPN. Just know that. For the rest of the show, it's locked away in my mind.
We could watch some, you know, region unlocked content right now.
Right now we could. After the show, though.
We'll do the podcast. We'll do the podcast.
Spiral.
Yes.
It came back to theatres, the Saw franchise.
That's right.
Darren Lynn Bozeman, he directed Saw 2, Saw 3 and Saw 4.
Oh.
Returned to helm. It made $9 million in the US opening weekend, which is slightly below the expectations of 10 to 15. But that's not a terrible return considering also it's a $20 million budget.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just about, for me, what you think the story
was. Oh, James.
We're going to do non-spoilers, then spoilers for this movie, but it's Saw.
It's Saw. So yep. Have you seen a Saw? So it's about, there's a cop. He's a cop on the edge. He's a cop on the edge in a way that cops haven't been on the edge since the 90s in a lot of ways.
It's crazy how badly that guy's on the edge.
It's like a Predator 2 city. It's a hot city on the edge.
Yeah, it is,
it's
isn't
incredible.
It?
Just cops swinging about with their shoulder holsters and their undone ties and they're all sweating.
It's insanity.
Sweating to the oldies.
One of the things that I found very unique about this movie and the sweat, they're doing the underarm sweat, but they're doing the neck sweat, a bib of sweat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've never seen this kind of sweat in cinema.
I was thinking the whole time, he's going to have to wring his tie out when he gets home. Just wring the sweat out of the top of his tie. Yuck. Yucky.
Yeah.
Anyway, cops, there are all sorts of cops. There are various cops on various edges in this city. And then some murders happen. Who is it? Is it Jigsaw?
No, they mention that he's dead and he's died in previous movies.
Probably a different guy then.
And it turns out to be a different guy. Lo and behold. No spoilers except for that,
that's
I guess.
Spoiler.
But there's no indication that it's going to be Jigsaw either.
No, that's true.
So
what a twist, though. Do you think that would...
No.
No, I meant...
Oh.
What if it was? Because this could have been their opportunity to be like, because you know how a lot of film, like horror franchises, they go magic.
They'll bring back whatever.
Like
I didn't think they'd do that.
No.
I thought they could have maybe ignored some stuff. They don't ignore, but you don't have to know anything.
No, that's true.
To go into this.
Yeah.
There's no like a...
And apparently this came about because Chris Rock is a big fan of the Saw franchise.
Yeah.
He wanted to do his own take on it. And so he sort of, which explains how it was only $20 million. Like I imagine Chris Rock could have demanded a lot more money. Like $20 million could have been his entire salary, but clearly he's taken a cut.
Yes.
In order to make this happen.
Yeah.
And it's very, you know, he wanted to be very true to the source material and enlisted
Saw's material.
Perfect.
Thanks.
How about this? Saw's sorterial.
Saw's sorterial. That's good.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But I feel like, had I not known that, I think I looked it up afterwards, but I kind of went in and I went, this could just be a different...
Could be anything.
It could be anything. It didn't feel...
Could be a straight-to-DVD 7 sequel.
It didn't especially feel like a Saw movie, and like the Saw traps in this are not... This isn't as... And again, I have a gap. I've seen Saw 1, 2, 3... I've seen Jigsaw,
yep.
But I've missed the middle arc.
Yeah.
But these traps are a lot less grisly, I feel like. They're less spectacular.
I don't think they're if you go into this for the traps or you love that YouTube compilation of all the traps, I don't think a lot of there's some big highlights in this.
Yeah, but I feel like a lot of these traps could have been replaced just by they find a dead body. You know what I mean? It felt like this could have this feels just like we're looking for a serial killer in the hot streets of whatever city this is. That's the movie.
Yeah.
It feels like the – it feels to me – and I because you saw this before me and I messaged you and I said, does this feel like just a police procedural and they've slapped
– And what did I say?
I think you said nah. I think you said it feels like a Saw movie.
Maybe we spoke
in real life. But I was like – I went in – I can't remember when I came out of this. I'm like, this just feels like it could be a police procedural.
No, you're absolutely right.
And it doesn't feel particularly Saw-like. There's – very little connection to the previous movies.
I don't know if
maybe there was more in earlier drafts, but for convenience sake, they had to cut some stuff out.
I couldn't find the message.
I mean, I can't enjoy it.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. In all honesty, it's like I think as a police procedural, like it's pretty standard. Like
it feels a little bit dated.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which I don't necessarily think is a bad thing. It's a good old fashioned cop drama. But what I kind of liked and didn't like is Chris Rock is constantly like, I got a bullet in my back. I'm the only good cop in this goddamn precinct. Everybody's trying to shoot me all the time. Don't you fucking look at me. I'll kill everybody I know and I hate being a cop. My dad's a cop. None of you guys are cops. I'm a cop.
Right.
And people are like, this guy's fucking intense, man.
Yeah.
We should have got this guy killed.
We should have. Why haven't we all transferred out of this precinct?
Because I'm not going to let anybody. My dad's the chief of police. Nobody's going anywhere.
So his dad is Samuel L. Jackson, is former chief of
my
police.
My dad's Samuel L. Jackson!
It was nice to see. It was sort of a different take because these guys seem very much proactive in terms of like tracking down a Jigsaw-esque killer.
That's true. And also the same age.
Maybe, yeah.
Chris Rock would have to be nearly 60,
no,
right?
No, I reckon he's 50.
I reckon he's 58.
Okay, great.
Let's find out. 56.
Oh, wow, okay.
Samuel Jackson would be good. Early 70s. Oh, he looks incredible.
Yeah. I wonder.
He's 72.
There you go. Great.
There you go.
Where was I going with this?
You wonder.
I did wonder, but maybe I didn't wonder. Maybe I was just filling for time.
Father and son team.
No. Oh, this exists in a universe in which there have been many Saw copycats, apparently.
Yeah, I think that's referring to the previous Saw copycats because they mentioned some names where, like, if you know anything about Saw, it's like, remember this, we remember you, but don't think about it.
But it also felt kind of like, ugh, another one.
Yeah.
Like, it's a universe in which there have been a great deal of these guys.
I also feel like, as mentioned, the Saw traps are fine, and as is per usual as well, they're completely inescapable, like most of them.
Well, see, that's why I felt like...
I'm like, these are just murders again,
aren't
they?
Yeah, see, that's why I felt like they could
have
been swapped...
some of them don't work.
They could have just been swapped out for a guy showing up and shooting somebody and leaving, and they find the body. It's the same thing. Like, they are all technically escapable if you immediately escape from them.
Yes.
If you immediately make the decision to escape. I don't know if that's a spoiler, but it's...
Yeah, I guess so, because there's one... there's one where it tears your fingers off. You choose to tear your fingers off, and the machine stalls at one point and he ends up dying.
Yeah.
I'm like, this was never going to, like, they're just murders again. But I think, you're right, like, in Seven, they show up and they find something and then you might get a flashback to that thing or whatever. Mm. I can't really remember. But, it could have been just you show up to a horrific murder. But that's not a Saw movie, is it, Mason?
That's what I'm talking about.
Saw is nothing without the traps.
You need a funny voice. You need a pig mask. You need a little mannequin.
They changed the mannequin.
They did change the mannequin, it's true.
Yeah, because the Saw killer in this doesn't like police officers because of corruption. And
I think that might be a spoiler.
Is it? They say it at the start.
Oh, okay, right.
Because the first guy he captures is a cop and he's like, you're a corrupt police officer and I don't like you.
Okay, cool.
I don't like you. Do you want to do spoilers, I guess?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't think this was the worst movie ever.
It was honestly fine.
Yeah.
I sat there and then the twist happened and I went, I know, because I figured it out 20 minutes
That's
ago.
True, yes.
And because it was just a process of elimination.
See, this is the thing, because this week we were like, We were sort of up in the air. I also was like, should I message you and say, should we see Wrath of Man instead? But then I'm like,
which was that again?
Jason Statham, and he's the world's best
assassin or something.
No, he's the world's best like security man.
Oh
guy.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and it's a new guy, Richie. But then I'm like, because we've been talking about the Saw movies, I'm like, may as well roll into this new one. Why not?
Is Wrath of Man actually out at cinemas?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I do want to see that.
Mm.
Cool.
Let's do it. Maybe we'll do it next week.
All right. Yeah. Well, we've got Army of the Dead next week or whatever it is.
That's
going to be interesting.
Anyway, I'm going to say best movie ever. I had a pretty solid time. It's not the worst movie ever, is it?
Mason.
It's probably not even the worst Saw movie.
I couldn't tell you because I haven't seen them all. But yeah, it's probably better than two.
Mm.
So sure.
But it's the least Saw feeling Saw movie, which is a shame.
I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, though. I think they were trying for something different here.
Yeah.
Which is not terrible.
But also if you want to return to form.
Yeah.
Like, because it has been a few years since the last one, I feel like you really need to make an impact. And this was not
Saw-packed.
As impactful.
Yeah, Saw-packed-ful.
Saw-packed-ful. Like, there are so many moments in this where, like, the killer delivers a little box to the police precinct and people are just like, oh, we'll see what's in this.
Yeah.
Really? Is that what you're going to do that? With this Saw killer?
Sometimes they wear gloves, sometimes they don't.
Yeah, sometimes everybody just crowds around.
Someone's
the box
like, it's a bomb. And they're like, it could be a bomb, but let's open it. It's never a bomb.
How about don't open it?
Yeah, don't open it.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Spoilers for this movie.
Yeah. So it turns
how early in this movie did you figure out who the killer was?
As soon as the pretty early on. So he gets a new partner, and it's the guy from The Handmaid's Tale, and he's like, I love being a good cop, and I love your dad is the reason that I became a police officer. I'm like, that's very suspicious.
Yeah.
And then later in the movie, he dies and disappears, but he's not shown to be crooked in any sense. So I'm like, well, he doesn't fit the profile of the killers. Because he's not crooked, he's a nice cop by all accounts.
Which means he's definitely the killer.
Yeah. You also hear like a fake baby crying noise at one point, which is part of his whatever, because he invents a
and
family.
And did you know it was a fake baby already?
Yeah, I could tell.
Oh.
Well, I thought this is either a fake baby.
A Faby.
Or.
Is that where the term kayfabe comes from?
That's right. I don't know what that means.
It's a wrestling term.
Then yes. Or. This is just a poor audio edit.
Well, when I figured it out, he did mention that it was the reason why he Sam Jackson was the reason he joined the police force.
Yes.
But then there was a point where he's like, my phone's died. Can I borrow your phone, Chris Rock? And I'm like, well, he's the killer then, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, nobody's got a charger. Come on.
Yeah, come on.
Is it that urgent?
Come on, Jack.
He's obviously gonna use your phone for nefarious purposes, for crime purposes.
But you know, like his motivations were like I bought into that more than I guess Jigsaw. I'm like, I can understand more why he's doing this and Jigsaw is doing it.
But I feel like there were some if you're gonna do that, that's fine. But I figure there were some odd plot holes that are born from that. Like, for example, at the end of the movie, he has captured Sam Jackson.
Yes.
And he's draining all his blood out. And he's like, listen.
Who's barely in this movie, by the way, Jackson.
Yeah, you got two options. He's done the Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be in two scenes.
Yeah.
I'll be in this apartment scene so I can sit on the couch.
Yep.
And I'll be strung up for hours.
Yeah, I'll take care of that, though, because I just have this.
Yeah.
So, just film around it.
So at the end, he's like, the killer is like, okay, you've got two options.
Yep.
One, you can shoot this target and it will bring your father down. And he won't die.
Yep.
I mean, he probably will because he's like 2 minutes from having all the blood drained out of his body. So what are you going to do?
Yep,
you're going to spit all the blood back in his mouth? What are you going to do?
It's like a snake bite.
But also, but option two is...
kill me?
Kill you. Kill me, the killer. But
you've only got one bullet.
Yeah, but if you shoot the target and that, then you've agreed to join me on my mission of identifying bad cops and then I'll kill the bad cops. Are you going to cover up the dad thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what are you? Is your dad? Does dad also agree with this?
Also,
is he going to? Because then I'll have to kill him anyway.
You could shoot the guy and pull all the needles out of him.
Yep, it's true.
Yeah, I found that so funny. Where there's a moment. So Sam Jackson, he's not because like as soon as you walk into that room, I'm like, there's something else going on with this trap other than just the blood's getting taken out of him because he's strung up like a. Like, it looks like he's going to get his limbs torn off.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, this is a limbs tearing off machine.
Mm.
And when the SWAT team storm in to be like, stop doing a saw in here.
We're sick of it.
You guys knock it off. Knock it off in there. Sam Jackson Gets struck.
I will turn this SWAT team around.
Sam.
Wait, that's what he wants. I'll never turn it around.
Sam Jackson gets pulled up like a marionette. And just the look on his face like, what?
And then, he's got a gun.
And he's the puppet. And he's got a gun and he gets shot. And I thought that was really funny.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah. So I know it's my good. And the music is swelling and it's like, and he's like,
the signature Saw theme, which they've kept until the end, I guess.
Exactly. And then he goes, bye, I'm on this elevator and I'm escaping till the next movie.
Yeah, he was like, you can try to shoot me, but I've got a flawless exit strategy, which was scuffle with Chris Rock on the ground for a bit and then leave, just get in the elevator and leave. Is that your flawless?
It's a pretty good plan.
Let's wrap some way less elaborate this time around.
Yeah, I thought the pulling off fingers one was pretty elaborate.
Yeah.
The wax one I feel like also wouldn't work because it's like sever your neck and the wax will stop pouring. How?
Right?
How does that work?
Yeah, right.
I just don't think like... Do you slam down on the blade and the blade presses a button, I guess?
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Mm. I had pretty good fun with it.
Yeah, game. Whatever, man, I guess. It's
Would you watch another one?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
I mean, I'd rather watch it at home, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
I don't want to go out of my way to see any of these.
Mm.
Yeah.
Also, what did he need? Like he was like, I need you to identify the bad cops, and then I'm gonna kill all the bad cops.
You're doing that already.
You're doing pretty good, actually. Mm. I mean, you could have...
He should have just said, I need a friend.
Yeah.
I need someone who's willing to kill their dad.
If you didn't fake your own death, we could have just kept doing this forever. Because I'd be in the police department and I would have access to the police computers and I would have been able to talk to all the bad cops and been like, hey, you a bad cop? And they'd be like, hell yeah, I'm a bad cop.
I love
being a bad cop. It's what I do. And then he'd be like, hope you don't get killed by the Saw killer. That's what I hope because I'm not the Saw killer.
You're under arrest.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I'm going to kill you in a Saw trap.
It's
really elaborate.
I mean a spiral trap.
Spiral trap, sorry. Right. Yeah. Do you think they missed a trick here not calling it Saw?
I think they missed a trick that he didn't dress up as Spyro the Dragon.
Yeah, that's probably correct.
Yeah. Imagine that. He's coming in. Yeah. He's coming into scenes.
That would be good. Wings. His face is cut out, so you can see his face in the neck of the costume.
I know
it's called like Spiral from the Book of Saw or Open This
what
Book of Saw.
What Book of Saw?
The Book of Saw, Mace. Isn't that what it's from?
Yeah, but what's the Book of Saw? I don't think. Yeah, it is, but what's the.
I don't know.
Book of Saw, to the best of my knowledge.
Made of skin, I don't know.
Mm, yeah, okay, great.
Yeah, look, I admire that like they kind of took it in a different direction. By that I mean changed the color palette.
Sure.
But it's a pretty standard 90s cop, like Seven clone.
It was a Seven clone, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think...
There was another movie that it reminded me of, and I don't think I wrote it down. Yeah, anyway.
Is it maybe even a case of Chris Rock was like, man, I really love Seven. I really wish I could do a Seven-esque movie. And people are like, well, that's been done. We can't do it anymore. And he's like, what's more recent? What's more relevant? Saw movies? Okay.
Just ask David Fincher to make something with you.
Sure,
do it. Yeah.
I mean, I would watch Chris Rock in another thing.
I think he's good, and he's good in Fargo as well, that season that I need to finish as well. Have you finished that season?
Yes.
Cool. Okay, I've got to finish it. Is that everything?
That's everything, I think. Anything else happen in the movie Spiral from the Book of Saw?
I don't know, man. Round and round. I struggled to write things down.
Okay, sure.
Like, I was like, what do I remember from this?
All right, well, maybe next week we'll watch Wrath of Man. We'll have a little chat about Wrath of Man.
Sure.
Yeah, nice.
Or Cruella. Cruella. Apparently people are liking it.
Great.
Do you know what it's time for?
James, it's time for our famous segment, What We Read and What We Gonna Read.
I've been reading a bunch of Saw stuff from the Book of Saw.
Oh!
Let me just put the theme song in first.
Terrific, and then we can talk about the Book of Saw.
That's right. I'm doing the theme. Westworld.
You're right, it is.
You like that one?
Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah.
Because
if I tune out slightly, I forget you're playing a theme, then it's just a man staring silent and then just going, worst world. It is pretty good. What have you been watching, thinking about reading?
The Book of Saw, Mason.
It's not true. You haven't been doing that.
No, I haven't. There's a new comic book series which is going to be a crossover event for Star Wars called Star Wars War of the Bounty Hunters.
Oh.
And it's basically Boba Fett is after he's gotten Han Solo and he's like, I've captured this guy and I'm going to take him to Jabba the Hutt. But
so this is set in between Empire and Jedi. Okay.
But then there's a war of bounty hunters who want Han Solo for their own purposes.
Oh.
So yeah, that it's like they did like issue zero or whatever it is. You know what I mean? As a warm up, and it was pretty good. So I'm gonna read all of those. I reckon I'm gonna read every one of them. But you know, I know how it ends. But I'm gonna read all
That's
of them.
True, yeah, Is there is it Boba Fett and all the other famous bounty hunters, or are there some new newbies?
New ones as well?
Okay, now is the premise here that you're gonna feel a kinship with the newbies, and you're gonna feel either sad when they die or elated when they live?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Okay. I don't recognize it. I can't remember. Right. But
because, like you said, that is the only real. Like, if it's anything that's an in between call,
yeah,
it's like, well, you know how it ends.
Yes.
So it's either the fun of the story,
yeah,
that he's going to end up exactly where you know it's going to end up, or it's you meet some new characters and you feel something when
that's true. Yeah. Yeah. That was one of my favorite parts of Shadows of the Empire, the comic.
Yes.
When it's not following the main storyline, it follows Boba Fett. And he's chased down by, like, IG-88 and a bunch of other ones.
Uh-huh.
And that's, to me, is the most interesting. Like, they should have just made the comic that.
Yeah.
So I guess this is, like, a variation on that. So that's kind of why I'm interested. And genuinely, like, I read it and I'm like, this is pretty good.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
What about you? What did you read from the Book of Saw?
I didn't read anything from the Book of Saw.
Well, you saw Spiral. So in a way you did.
In a way I did read some very dramatic passages from the Book of Saw. Well, post-watching Spiral, I'm like, well, I should cleanse the old palate. So I watched a couple of things. I watched Girls Five Ever, which is the
what's that?
It's an 8-episode series. It's by some of the – I think it's by some 30 Rock people.
Yeah.
Because it has a very 30 Rock vibe. So it's about –
it's like a Spice Girls-esque.
Yeah, like a Spice Girls-esque band from like the late 90s, you know, mid-2000s. And they've all – you know, the whole thing collapsed. The whole thing was a failure. You know, it was a sort of false start. And then they sort of all get back together, like a series of circumstances bring them together, and they're like, we'll take another crack at this.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
I like the cast.
It's like Rude 30 Rock.
Oh, I love Rude 30
Rock. And I think it is. And the name, the person behind the music, I think is John Richmond, who is Tina Fey's husband.
Oh, okay.
And he did the 30 Rock theme, I think. This all might be nonsense, but it seems correct, doesn't it? And Tina Fey does have a little cameo in there.
Yeah, I know. I just they spoil it in the cast. So I won't say it here, right. But yeah, that sounds
it's a lot of fun.
Unexpected,
and it's very the songs are. I should look this up just because the songs are very good.
Okay,
they're very like girl power in the way that girl power was in the 90s. Like,
yeah,
there's like a song called Dream Girlfriend where she's like. Where the characters sing like, you know, I'm your dream girlfriend, my parents are dead, and you know, so they're not going to ask you any questions.
Yeah. You know. Brilliant stuff. Cool. Okay.
And I also watched.
That's on Stan.
It's on Stan in Australia, but it's on Peacock
in Australia.
In America, James. God. It's got. It is a good cast. So Sarah Bareilles. Who's an actual singer-songwriter.
Yep.
Busy Phillips, Paula Powell, Renee Elisa Goldsberry.
She's from Hamilton.
Ah, right.
Yeah.
They're all good singers. And, Jeff Richmond, American composer, actor, director, and producer. He composed the music for and directed multiple episodes of 30 Rock.
All right, yeah.
And the music for Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Oh, cool. I just got to finish Kimmy Schmidt. Yeah. Did you finish Kimmy Schmidt?
Yes.
Cool.
And I also watched Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar.
What's that?
It is, it's got... Kristen Wiig.
Yep.
It's got. Hang on, I'll bring it up for you. But it's basically. It's a sort of. It's Barb and Star are two sort of middle-aged women. They work at the same furniture store. The store goes out of business, so they decide to take a vacation to Vista Del Mar.
Yeah.
And it's. It's absolute nonsense
in a good
it's
way.
It's fun. Well, I was in the mood to enjoy it. I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's like they go on like it's a kind of a wacky, you know, sort of road trip comedy. It's kind of not a road trip, but like a vacation comedy kind of thing. But there's also a supervillain plot in it. But there's no consequences. It makes none of it makes any sense.
Okay, that sounds really good.
There's some fun cameos in it. Jamie Dornan is in it.
Okay,
he's fun in it. Yeah.
All right.
Pretty good.
All right, cool.
One of the Wayans is in it.
One of the Wayans. I was just looking for streaming numbers this week because I saw some updated things and Peacock was up there. Mm. I'm like, oh, and Apple. I'm like, oh, I didn't know anyone was on those things. Cool. Okay.
It's Kristen Wiig and Annie Mumolo, who I think they wrote or they worked on Bridesmaids together.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah.
Is it better than that Netflix movie about superpowers or whatever?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is it?
Yes.
You know Sam Jackson is worth $250 million as of 2021.
Yeah. Anne Mumolo co-wrote Bridesmaids.
Cool.
There you go.
That all sounds really quite good. Did it remind me to remind you about that movie? It's like that rom-com.
Palm Springs?
knockoff is like Paul Rudd and Amy Poehler, and it's like a parody of a rom-com.
They came together?
Yeah, is it like that kind of?
No, no, okay. It's less...
Because that's like pure nonsense.
Oh, this is even more nonsense. Yeah. Like, it's a very barely strung together plot.
Okay.
Like, I think, because this, I think, was originally going to go to the movies,
the theatre,
but because of the COVID, the situation, it got moved to streaming. Yeah. And I wonder if I had... Because I paid for it. I paid for the rental.
Yeah.
But I wonder if I went to the cinemas to see this, I'd be like, this is nonsense and I hate it.
Yeah, okay.
Because I'm like, that's, you know, it's pretty cheap and I'm, you know, watching it at home and, you know, I was like, this is pretty fun. Cool. This is good fun.
Very good stuff.
Yes.
Should we do the next segment of the show?
We should do the next segment, which is the letters.
It is. Letters, that's your worst one yet.
Do we want to do it again?
No.
No, I didn't think so.
Hey,
I thought the volume was up. I was very prepared. I'm like, oh, yeah, not bad.
That's good that you're being respectful of podcasting rules, though, by putting the volume down.
Yeah.
If you do want to reach the show, hashtag WeeklyPlanetPod on Twitter or tweet straight at us, but put the hashtag in there because then I run a search every week and then I can find them or whatever.
That's right.
Or shoot a letter or audio letter. Keep it short. Keep it brief. Over to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com. We've got a few
keep
this
week. Keep
it pithy.
Week.
Do you want to start with those?
Yes.
Where are your headphones, Mason?
They're on my head.
They're on his head. This one's from Kamyar.
Oh.
Let's give this a crack.
Let's give it a crack.
Hi, I'm Kamyar from Canada, and I just wanted to say I love the show. And
I apologize if I pronounced your name wrong, but here we go. We're in it, aren't we?
We're in it now. That's true, yeah. Yeah, it's happening.
Love you guys, and just wanted to say a quick little anecdote. I'm going to be graduating high school in about a month, and that got me thinking to the first day of school that I was gonna go to in my new neighborhood, because I'm an immigrant, so I didn't always used to live in Canada. And I remember the night before my first day, I was really nervous, so I just would just kind of watch Mr. Sunday movies videos just so like until I went to sleep. And now I'm graduating high school and I'm just as Canadian as can be, and it's just, it's a really nice thing that I kind of grew up with the podcast and the Mr. Sunday Movies channel, and I just want to say thanks for that, guys. Love y'all.
You are welcome.
Yes, congratulations.
It sounds like we did all the work.
That's exactly
that's
right,
really
yes.
Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a successful story, and I like hearing it. You know
that's
what I mean?
Right, I liked it
congratulations.
Too.
It's high school.
Thanks, man.
You don't have to do it anymore.
Oh, my God. Ah, oh, your life you're begins out. When you're not in high school
you'll
anymore.
You'll think about it a lot, but you that's don't right. have to. Ever, yeah. You'll dream about it for the rest of your life, but you don't have to go back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also liked I liked how it sounded a little bit like he was expecting somebody to leap in on him while he was recording that.
Maybe he was. Maybe that was happening.
I think it sounded like he was recording in a closet, maybe.
Maybe it was muck-up day pranks on the last day of high school.
Maybe. Yeah.
Do you know, you can't even do muck-up day pranks anymore in Australia.
Why is that?
Because I think someone cut the head off a chicken or something.
Or a man.
Or a man.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is fine. Mm. Not that. I mean, the fact that they've cancelled it, you shouldn't murder animals.
Yeah, don't. Or punch him. Cut the head off a man.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Either of those things.
All right.
All right, got another one here.
Let's do it.
It's from Arnie. It says, I hope I'm not making any erroneous assumptions in this message.
Oh, my goodness.
Just want the playback to your literal response to the questions. Here we go. Okay.
All right, here we go. Yeah, love it.
Hi, mates. I hope you're well. I'm Arne from Belgium, and I wanted to get back on a letter.
I apologize. I've also pronounced your name wrong. let's keep it going.
Mm.
Listener Adrian, I think it was, sent in last week. He mentioned to you that he had recently had a vasectomy and hilarity ensued. Especially funny to me, as I was in my third week of recovering from having undergone the very same procedure. And if you like anecdotes about what it's like, I can tell you that I spent at least 7 days always walking from A to B with my legs spread as far apart as possible whenever I needed to move around.
Like
thank heavens from home, am I right? My question, though, is for Nick specifically. As someone who doesn't have any kids yet, I wanted to ask you if you had a vasectomy now, how would you tell your parents that you did? Hashtag asking for a friend. Also, follow-up question. Can I be the pod's official vegan IT guy? Thanks, and thanks. Keep grabbing that gem, you guys. You know, see ya.
We'll never stop.
We'll never stop.
Congratulations on your new walk.
I don't think my parents are expecting me to have any kids. I don't think they would be surprised either way.
They'd be like, good?
Yes, sure.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Our family line dies with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
on top.
How would you tell them?
I'd be like, just so you know.
You'd come in sideways.
I'd come in sideways like a crab. And I'd be like, just FYI, the thing I'm about to tell you is apparently scientifically reversible.
Well, it is. It decreases every year.
Oh.
So like in the first year, there's a pretty good chance, and then it lessens every time.
Well, I'd say exactly that.
Yeah. So, okay, fair enough. I think I've had kids, so my parents would be like, whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We've got enough grandkids.
We've got so many grandkids at this point, they'd
exactly,
say.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. Got one more.
And
here.
Your mum would be like, we have some girls now, so.
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
So you can stop trying.
Oh, here's a name I'll definitely pronounce wrong. Haralder. Here we go.
Maybe you've nailed it, though. Here we go.
Let's find out.
All right.
James and Mason, you guys are funny, and you summarize films I don't want to watch, and comics I'm too illiterate to read. I'm the official Icelandic-dwelling British-Irish citizen of the podcast, Grim Harold, and I'm here.
I'm sorry, Grim Harold, I pronounced your name wrong.
I hope he accepts that apology, because this is getting crazy.
It's spooky stuff.
Spooky stuff.
Also give a shout-out to the official Scottish-dwelling Rangers fan of the podcast, Connor from My Wrestling Chat. Have a good time and keep up the good work. Love, Grim Harold.
Thank you, Grim Harold.
Grim Harold, that was very upsetting. That was good.
I liked it. I like how he told us to have a good time.
Yeah, yeah, what a set of pipes.
Good pipes all around this time around, yeah.
Thank you for all your lovely messages.
Lovely letters.
Sorry, I pronounced...
We should call it the lovely letters
segment.
The
lovely letters segment, audio. Mm. Audio only.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you have any other written letters?
I've got some written letters.
I've got some tweets too.
I've got one written letter. This is from James.
That's me.
He says, what do you guys collect? Hi, James and Mason. I've collected Lego since I was 5.
Yep.
Or Lego. Do you know they say Lego in Adelaide?
Who's saying that?
People in Adelaide, they say Lego.
Who's saying that?
Lego.
No one should be saying that.
I know. In America, they say Legos.
Who's saying that?
Americans. Say, God, he's lost his ability to communicate. This happens sometimes towards the end of an episode. James loses the ability to understand words. You just got to push forward.
It's true.
Anyway, I've collected Lego. He's not from Adelaide. Since I was 5, and despite my best efforts to resist, I've recently started buying action figures despite not having enough space for the stuff I already have.
Sure.
And despite moving out for uni soon. I was wondering if you guys collected anything or if you had anything noteworthy. Just wanted to say I've been listening to the pod and watching the channel for years, and they're both great. Hope you both have a great week. Bye. Thank you, James.
Thank you. I'm happy to do it. I thought I didn't collect things, but it turns out I have a massive pile of video games.
You do. Like, you have such a massive pile of video games that there is a box has collapsed in the other room.
Yeah.
And it spilled video games on the floor.
That was me furiously looking for a PSP game.
And they're just still there.
Just left it
it's
on my
been
ground.
Weeks.
Yeah, so I've got a bunch of PS2 games, a bunch of PS3 games, and a significant amount of PS4 games. And if you go through the eras of gaming, mm-hmm. I play less and less. In every set, it's like every PS2 game, I'm like, I've beaten every one of these games. I know them back to front. PS3, it's like, somewhat. And PS4, it's like, I've played none of these.
I played 10 minutes of this, and I'm like, oh, it's another open world sandbox game. Yeah. I guess I'm not finishing this.
Yeah, this one isn't open at all.
You've played some of Resident Evil?
I have. I've been playing a little bit of it. Yeah,
you're loving it.
It's quite good.
It?
Yeah, I like it so far.
Okay, great.
I do prefer the third person perspective, I think, ones, but.
Do you feel it's less Resident Evil-y just because of that?
No, I don't think so. I don't like the puzzles. It's like you got to find an amulet to put
it's
in
always
the,
gems, aren't
in
they? Goal.
I'm like, I don't. Just fucking open the door. Like, I don't. It's not fun or challenging to me. That shit. It's just busy work.
Again,
man.
It exists in that universe of like, if you were a person in this universe, if you worked in one of these castles, you'd be like, I got to find a ruby to open this door.
But you know, it's got some pretty satisfying combat. Mm. You know, you got some sweet guns and you're upgrading and whatever, and it's very 4, which is my favorite. So I will continue it or never play it again. We'll see how that goes.
Cool.
What about you? What are you collecting?
I don't know if I collect a lot of stuff.
You collect clothes, though.
I do collect clothes. I have a lot of sweaters.
I've never seen you wear the same clothes twice.
Well, that's because I burn them. So technically, it's not a collection, is it?
Yeah. That's just a.
Yeah, I have enough clothes for 10 lifetimes, but I just enjoy them.
Yeah, that's nothing wrong with that.
I'm a rare fabric nerd.
That's nothing.
Look at this
that.
Texture, James. That's an excellent sweater.
Is that a cable knit sweater?
No, this is more of a fisherman stitch.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. You know what I bust?
And watches. I've got a lot of watches.
Yeah, that's true.
But I find if you this sort of thing, it's sort of like an endless procession, like men's clothing especially, it's just sort of like an endless loop of slightly different things.
Mm.
Like I have many, many like watches. This one has like a cream dial and a brown leather band, and I have like 10.
Yeah, right.
That are slightly different. They're not the same. People would be like, why do you have 10 of the same? They're not the same.
So why is it then? What's the incentive for you? Is it disposable income?
No, I think it's like they're like design objects that you can wear. Yeah. So it's like an action figure in the sense that it's like,
but it's you.
People have made like but often with like this sort of stuff, there's a functional reason behind, like
you
know, the size of the numbers and the position and the you know, all the.
That's a good watch.
It's a Timex, just a Timex. Takes a lick and keeps on ticking.
Is that true?
Yeah.
That's good to know. Yeah.
And I occasionally buy a Transformer. Sure. I like an Optimus Prime, for example. An Ultra Magnus.
Yeah, but you don't have like a crazy amount of.
No.
Yeah.
I just, you know what stopped me collecting this sort of stuff? And the reason I'm like, I can give away a lot of this, because I'm like, I'll send a lot of this stuff to like secondhand stores and whatever. So if kids really want them, they can have them kind of thing.
Yeah, cool.
Because people have documented them all now.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I can just, if I'm like.
You're not worried it's going to disappear.
Yeah, I'm like, I would like to see every version of Grimlock. Oh, there's a page that is just that.
Literally,
like,
there's a
wiki, and it's just every Grimlock, and there's like a video of every transformation of every action figure exists.
And it's a really boring guy doing it.
there's channels that are just devoted to like going through the history of all this stuff. And for some reason, as soon as this became a thing, I'm like, I don't need to collect any of this anymore because it's,
I think I found that like similar with movies. I'm like, oh, everything's available digitally. And
yeah, right.
It's weird because I'm physical on games because I'm worried they're going to disappear. But with movies, I'm not.
Huh.
I don't know why.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I guess because games, like, they'll stop working if your console, whatever.
That's true, yeah.
They're not all backwards compatible or there's not like a site you can just go and just play everything.
Yeah.
Whereas movies are essentially can be, you could put most movies just on a big hard drive.
That's true,
you know what I mean? So I guess that's why I'm probably not afraid of that so much. But
in fact, that would be a real money spinner. Just you go to a shop and they're like, we have most movies on this hard drive.
Oh, man, that would be, wouldn't
it? God, I would pay $50 for that. For most movies on a hard drive.
For a terabyte of movies.
That's right. I'd get a pineapple out for movies on a hard drive.
You know what? That's not a terrible idea to be like, there's just a bunch of movies on this hard drive.
Yeah.
That's not terrible.
I mean, that's probably, like, if you ever go to, like, a car boot sale or, like, one of those.
I mean, you could do it officially.
Yeah.
To be like, if you love the Saw movies, they're just all on this memory stick.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. But it's streaming now, so you don't really need to do anything.
I would like that.
Yeah, me too. Cool. Anything else I collect? I don't think so. Not really. I try not to clutter up my house with. Like, I have comics, but I lend them out and I'm mostly digital now. So
yeah, like my collections of comic books are now sort of completely arbitrary. It's like some stuff I've kept and some stuff I'm like, oh, I'd like to have that in trade, and so I get it. And some stuff I'm just like, I'll just read it digitally and it doesn't matter, like it's not.
I buy physical copies of not a bunch, but every now and then of like a TKO comic or something like that.
Yeah, right.
Like Sentient I bought, I was going to say recently, that was maybe a year ago, maybe longer. Right. But of just, like there's an upcoming project and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll support, you know, the physical.
And sometimes I'm like physical, sometimes I'll read something digitally and I'm like, I'll get a physical copy because if I recommend it to somebody, I can just be like,
bam,
here it is.
And now I've forgotten I've given that to you.
Now it's gone. Where's my copy of Mr. Miracle? I think I loaned it out to somebody. I can't find it.
Did you? Anymore. Yeah, I loaned out a lot of mine, so I don't know where they are.
But if you're collecting those action figures, good for you. Take photos, document them.
Yeah.
So I
love them.
So for my peace of mind, please document all your action figures.
I love a shelf of action figures.
Yeah.
Or like a shelf of Hot Toys. I'm big into it, but I just know it's a slippery slope for me.
Yeah. Well, like I know a few people who have, they collect like the Batman black and white figurines.
Yeah.
Which is all the Batmans in various artist styles.
Yes. Those are
sort of as figurines, sort of based on the Batman black and white series. Mm. So there'll be like a Mike Mignola one and a
different one.
A Jim Lee. A Jim Lee. There's definitely a Jim Lee.
There you go.
There's, again, at this point, there's like 150 of those. And I'm like, I can't start. If I'd started at number one, maybe. But
and they get more expensive because some are discontinued.
And so forth. Yeah.
Good stuff. I got a letter here from Titangus.
Ooh.
Hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. It's actually a tweet. I tricked you. I got you, Mason.
No, but I'm enjoying it too. So in a way, you've
jokes
tricked yourself.
On me.
Yeah, jokes on you. Yeah. I enjoyed how you did that.
Well, now I'm not going to read this one.
Great.
Now I'm having a big sulk.
You're digging your heels in.
Is it better to watch an adaptation having read the source material or going blind, trying to decide whether to read Invincible or not? Also, when will the James wants to change the intro arc continue? Yeah, that'll come back soon, I think. I mean, it depends, I think, property to property. For me, having read Invincible, it didn't lessen my enjoyment of the series.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it would have enhanced it either. What's going on in the world, Mason? What do you think? Okay, here's an example. I recently read The Dry, and then I saw the movie The Dry.
Oh, you have seen the movie The Dry, and with Eric Bana.
Yes, and I think it's still in cinemas. I think it's still playing. Yeah, maybe. It was a few weeks ago. But the book, I think the movie would
you
would
say one of them's a bit dry?
Very good.
Would you, though?
I'm also enjoying this joke, so the joke's on you.
Well, that's great. I love it when a joke's on me because I'm very giving in that way.
If I hadn't have read
very generous.
If I hadn't have read the book, I think I would have enjoyed the movie more. I talked about Suggestible. It's a good movie. It's very like it's well directed.
It's about a murder in a small town.
Yeah, murder in a small town.
A town with secrets.
Yes, and there's a lot of.
And you think it's an innocent town, but it's actually full
exactly,
of secrets.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's an every Australian movie.
No, it's better than most. Okay, it's right. Kind of above. But I think there's a lot of like nuance in the book, and I talk about this in my less successful podcast, Suggestible. But
go on.
It really captures like a desperation of a small town that I feel like the movie can't quite squeeze in.
Okay,
just like this dying town in this dead kind of farming industry when there's a drought and everything's awful.
Is that because you watch the movie and you go, well, this is a dying town, but Eric Banner's in it, and a bunch of other beautiful people.
No, yeah, maybe it is.
Maybe they could all take second jobs as models or actors.
And again, like it's a pretty good movie, but so I guess it just depends on the property, and you don't really know until you just dig into both, I guess.
Yeah, I think it is very much a case of case by case, and just ask an expert. Like, go to somebody who has seen them both, or a huge fan of, say, Invincible, a comic book.
Would you go to a Reddit thread, or would you go to someone you trust, or would you read an insane Reddit thread?
I'd go
by 4,000 insane people.
I'd go a Reddit insane Reddit thread first, I think. Yeah,
cool.
Honestly, yeah.
Just spin your head right around.
Yeah.
Not know where you're at.
That's right.
Cool. Can you think of an example of a thing where you went, I'm going to read this before I watch it, or vice versa? I tried Lord of the Rings before I saw it. I've talked about this, couldn't get through it. I used to read a lot of adaptations of movies I couldn't see.
Like the novelizations.
Yeah, I read like Stargate, and I still haven't seen the movie Stargate, but I've read the
novelization. There's a new game coming out.
Is there?
Stargate, keep on Stargating.
If you stop for a second, I swear to God. If anybody closes this fucking Stargate,
right?
I'm going to lose it. Yeah. So what kind of game is it? Is it an MMO?
I think it's they just did a reveal trailer, so nothing. It's just the trailer was just them opening a Stargate.
Cool. Let me check what it's on, because that will determine whether this is good or not.
And whether it's a real-time strategy game or not.
For mobile?
Yeah.
Yeah, here we go. Stargate Timekeepers.
Yes.
What is that?
Don't know, James.
Is there time travel in Stargate? Probably.
Generally not.
Okay.
I couldn't rule it out. I haven't seen every episode of Stargate Atlantis, so.
Then why did Richard Dean Anderson die and then return in Stargate?
Whoa.
I think.
Oh.
Real-time strategy game.
Okay. So it's on PC probably.
Yeah, okay.
What were we talking about? I've forgotten.
Stargate adaptations.
Oh, yeah.
I read Jurassic Park before I saw the movie, the junior novelization.
And then I read
the senior novelization.
I will generally not go out of my way to read the source material. If I haven't already read it, I probably won't until afterwards.
Yeah.
I think just because I don't want to know what I'm... Because, I mean, generally speaking, if it's maybe a long comic book series and they turn into a movie, they're going to cut a lot of stuff out.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go in and be like, they cut out the scene with it. Oh, that was a good scene. Okay, whatever. Or like, you know, I don't want to look at it and go, oh, they've obviously made compromises for marketing purposes or, you know, we don't want to offend anyone purposes or any of those kind of things. So I'd rather just watch it and enjoy it as it is and then go back and go, oh, they added...
The squid.
The pirate. I was going to say the pirate comic.
Okay. That's fair enough. There was something specifically I was going to mention. Yeah, so sometimes when a movie's coming out and I'm like, oh, that's 3 years away, I'll read it. Like when I heard they were making The Martian, I went, oh, that sounds really interesting, and I'll read the book, and I did. And they were both pretty good.
Terrific.
And that's everything.
Yeah.
Except for this last tweet.
Go on.
From the Sunday Boys. That is a review I'm going to read later.
Ah.
But this is from Lee Fenor, who says, hey, Master Sunday Movies, how about a caravan of garbage for some of the Master of the Universe properties? The original New Adventures, the movie, but I'm most partial to the 2002 series.
Oh.
I'd say we'll definitely do the movie and maybe touch on the other stuff. I don't know. Is there a... Do you remember there was a sequel cartoon to the original series where they went to a different planet?
Nope, I don't remember that at all. Are you sure that's real?
That's 100% real. Okay. I remember the toy line. Yeah, yes, we'll do some of that.
Yeah, we'll definitely do the movie. And maybe we'll find the worst episode of the cartoon.
Sure. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
I was thinking about how to do like something like what's that bug movie called where they kill bugs?
Starship Troopers.
Yes. Like, would it be, like, I don't want to do...
Actually, some people think it's a bit more than that, James, more than just killer bugs.
I don't want to get into it, Mason. I don't want to get into it. But would we do, like, the first movie and then there's two sequels and an animated sequel? Mm-hmm. Would people be okay with, like, if we did the first movie and then we just jammed everything into one other video?
Yeah, because sometimes there's not a lot. It's not as substantive, the sequels. Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, it's just something to think about.
Isn't it, though?
That nobody probably cares about. Anything else, or is that it?
That's the whole show, folks. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for emailing in or voicemailing in. Keep it pithy. Thank you for liking the show, subscribing, telling a friend, lying to a friend to get them to listen to the show. We appreciate all those things.
Yes, we do.
We appreciate it if you leave a nice review, because then we get to read them out on the show. James, you got a couple to read out on the show?
You know I do, Mason. I'm happy to do it for you. This one's from the Sunday Boys. This is actually a tweet. Just
from
kidding.
The Sunday
it's a
Boys.
Review, yeah.
James, I'm really enjoying how you keep tricking me.
These good boys. These boys are the goodest podcast boys, the most good boys. You'll never find a better bunch of boys or a better podcast dog. Boys, 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 boys. That's from Fiomella.
Five stars?
Five stars.
Terrific. Hey, Ollie, you still there? Ollie.
It's too cold.
She's too cold.
It's really cold in here, isn't it?
Ollie, you coming?
This one is from Jonathan Burko, who says, amazing output for 40%. Wish I was 10% as productive as these guys who are operating at 40%. See, the trick is Mason's at 100% and I bring him somewhere in the middle. That's
right.
That's how it works.
You drag me down to 60-ish and I reach out to you. I throw out a rope.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. That's it. And what else are you doing, Mason?
If you want to get in contact with us, you can go to Weekly Planet Pod at Gmail, at Facebook, at Twitter, at Bandcamp. Any G.I. Joe trailers at all?
I don't believe so, but I'm just bringing it up.
Folks, you can go to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group if you want to have some fun chats with some fun folks.
Yeah.
I always appreciate it. I always have a browse of that on my off time. It's real good fun.
Absolutely.
You can also go to planetbroadcasting.com. You can sign up to the newsletter from the great Rob Collings. He is at Raw Collings on Twitter. He is at The Weekly Planet on Twitter, and he does all the editing for this podcast, and he's doing a tremendous job.
Very good. Right now, probably. I agree.
He's hearing this right now.
Yeah, thank you, Collings. Yeah. How has he done it? Hopefully he's taking a bit of a break soon.
Editing software.
Which means, yes, I'd imagine so. He's not doing reel-to-reel?
Don't know. Maybe he transfers it to reel to reel.
Do you reckon he's doing like a two tape deck situation where he's recording and stopping?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. He's got some old Walkmans and he's pushing play and record at the same time.
Absolutely.
Folks, you can go to lost my train of thought. Oh, I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter and on Instagram. I'm Nick Maso, NICKMASEAU. James, you're Mr. Sunday Movies everywhere. Folks, if you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/Mr. Sunday Movies. You can chuck in a buck. You can go to Amazon affiliate link in our episode description. You can buy some stuff through Amazon. You can also go to BigSandwich.co. You can sign up for $9 per month. As per mentioned, we've got all sorts of movie commentaries and a bonus podcast and early videos and all kinds of stuff. We have a grand old time there. New catchphrases is all I'm saying. We're putting in some new catchphrases.
I love catchphrases.
Yeah. That's your new catchphrase.
I love catchphrases. I say it differently every time. Yeah, it's got a different cadence.
It's got more desperation every time.
I've got...
Nice.
What's next?
Thank you to The Brute and The Basilisk and Rackham for all our musical themes.
Yeah.
We've got some t-shirts on tpublic.com. If you'd like to get any of those, just search for The Weekly Planet.
I agree.
You get one of those. Get any one of those. Send us a tweet at us when you're wearing your t-shirt. Be like, look at this t-shirt.
What do you think of it?
Yeah.
And people are like, I don't get that reference. But you don't have to explain that to them.
More people are getting the reference, though.
You don't know anybody anything.
That's right. Oh, could that be our new t-shirt? You don't know anyone anything, The Weekly Planet. It's just us frowning. Just
get out of our business.
That's right. Anyway, that's the whole show next week. Something else?
Army of the Dead.
Army of the
Dead. Maybe that other movie you mentioned.
Yes.
And maybe Cruella.
Oh, that's so many things.
Yep. All right.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye. Army of the Dead's on Netflix as well, so everybody can give it a look-see because nobody is tuning in to hear a Saw review.
It's probably
goodbye.
True.
Goodbye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.